Okay, Boker Tov. So we're holding Shabbos Daf Kuf Nun Aleph. We're up to actually Kuf Nun Aleph Beis, right towards the bottom. If you look at the bottom of the page, just to quickly get our bearings, we read this next Gemara is going to focus on the end of the Mishnah, Kal Amar Abba Bashol. So in the Mishnah, we read three dinim. In the Mishnah, we had really three sections. We had a person is not allowed to hire workers on Shabbos, nor can he instruct someone else to hire workers on his behalf on Shabbos. That was din number one of the Mishnah. Din number two of the Mishnah was that a person is not allowed to go to the tchum on Shabbos to be ready to hire workers after Shabbos, so to carry back prayers after Shabbos, meaning he can't go to the tchum, to the edge of the boundary, in order to do malachas right after Shabbos that he couldn't do on Shabbos. But the Mishnah did say, the flip side, that he can go to the tchum to go watch his prayers, because something which he could do on Shabbos, he can go to the tchum to be ready to do those very same activities right away from Mount Shabbos. That's fine. That was, we'll call that section two of the Mishnah. And then section three was klal amar Abishol. Abishol said a klal, and the Gemara is going to just try to understand, where was his klal going on? What's going on? The first din of the Mishnah, the second din of the Mishnah, of when it's not allowed to go to the boundary, is going on the third of the Mishnah, when it is allowed to go to the boundary, when it's a davar mutter, where is the klal going? And once we establish what the klal is going on, the Rebbe wants to further elaborate, what exactly is the klal coming to say? Is he coming to be mekel, be machmer? That's the Gemara. Says Gemara, klal amar Abishol, Abishol says, kol shani, his lashon of the Mishnah was, wherever I'm able to do an amira, I can do the lahachshech, I can go and go to the boundary on that for that purpose also while it's still daytime. So says Gemara, ibayilu. Abishol, ahai, where's Abishol going on? If he's going on the first part, meaning the Mar right away assumes he wasn't going on the initial dinim of hiring workers on Shabbos itself. He's going on the concept of going towards the Tchum, walking to the Tchum, in order to be ready to do things right after Shabbos. But even so, if he's going on the Reisha of the second part of the Mishnah, where it discusses the dinim of going to the Tchum to hire workers, says the Gemara, Hai kol shani zakeh ben rasi, rashai ani Chashichasai, it should be opposite. Kol she'eini zakeh ben rasi, eini rashi b'chashichasai b'vaylei. Abishol is coming to seemingly give a klal to summarize what the first Tana was saying, and then maybe add to it. The Tana on the first part of that middle section was saying it's prohibited to go to the boundary in order to be ready to hire workers right after Shabbos. So Abishol's lashon should be focused on the negative. Kol she'eini, whatever I'm not allowed to do, whatever I'm allowed to speak about, I'm not allowed to do. It should be focused on what one's not allowed to do. Yet his lashon was whatever I am allowed to speak about, I am allowed to go and be machshech close to while still Shabbos. Go to the border. So we see the lashon of Abishol, which is in the positive, doesn't seem to fit with that first part of the second section of the Mishnah. It says Mar Elas Evikai. Must go in the second part of that section. Aval Machshech Ulishbar Maybe Peiris Piyadei, where we said over there that a person can be Machshech, a person can go and he can wait by the boundary, by the Tchum, in order to wash the Peiris and then bring Peiris back. Piyadei, that's Mutter, because since he was going for an activity, it's permissible. Namely, washing Peiris, that's permissible. That's the Mishnah. He's allowed to go even on Shabbos. So Abishol then goes and adds and says, whatever I'm allowed to do in the Amira, I'm allowed to go be Machshech. The Mar still has a problem with that. What's the din that we know? The din that we know is he's allowed to go to the boundary while still Shabbos for a davar mutter, such as watching prayers. The amira, the fact that he's allowed to speak about on Shabbos, that we didn't know yet. So why is Abishol giving a klal? Whatever I'm allowed to do the amira, I could do, I can go and be machshech and go to the boundary. On the contrary, you're being tailored the din that we know, that we don't know, in the din that we know. Meaning, opposite. We normally are tailored din that we don't know and a din we know already. And over here we're doing the opposite. We're being tailored the din that we don't know, which is the amira, and we're saying, if I could do the amira, then I can go b'chashecha as well. Who says anything? We never said anything about amira yet. Says the Gemara, Loyla Masefa, you know, stick with this last mahalach. Abishol is going on the Sefa. That's still true. Abishol is coming to include this concept. Amar Vida Mar Shmuel, Mutter La'adam Lem L'Chaveri, Shmar Li Peres Shebetchumcha, Va'ani Esh Melach Peres Shebetchumi. This is a very big aside. A person could say to his friend, you watch my Peres that are within your boundary, and I'll watch your Peres that are within my boundary. So like this, let's say Reuven and Shimon, maybe the two boundaries overlap, the Tchum, the 2,000 Amos overlap a bit, but Reuven's extends much further out to the west, Shimon's extends much further out to the east. Fate would have it that Reuven, whose boundary extends to the west, he has Peiris that he can't get to watch. Remember saying, watching his mutter on Shabbos, he has Peiris that he can't get to, that out in the east. And Shimon, whose his boundary extends out in the east. His Paris are actually in the west. So they say a beautiful thing. You watch my Paris, I'll watch your Paris. They can make a decision tonight, and that's permissible. Watching Paris is permissible, and they can each tell each that was saying Lishmar Paris is mutter, and they can each instruct the other one. They make a deal to watch on each other's behalf, and that's okay. What's the chiddush? The chiddush is where Shimon is watching Paris on behalf of Reuven. Reuven can't go. That's out of Reuven's tchum. Reuven can't get that far. Reuven's not allowed to go. Yet he's allowed to instruct Shimon to watch for him because it's within Shimon's tchum, and vice versa. Where Reuven's going to watch on behalf of Shimon. Shimon can't go, and yet he's allowed to instruct Reuven to go watch on his behalf, because since Reuven himself is allowed to go there, it's okay for Shimon to instruct Reuven. And we'll get back to a very, very important halach lemaisa based on this. Says the Gemara, V'kamar Abishol Tanakama. So Abishol saying Tanakama, Mila Maidus to Mutad Lemla Chaverit. Aren't you Maidus? The person can say to his friend, Shmarli Paris, Shabbatumcha, Vani Eshbatli Paris, Shabbatumi. That person can say to his friend, you watch for me, we're on the top of Kuf Nun Aleph, Amen Aleph. You watch for me, the Paris. That are within your tchum, my Paris in your tchum, and I'll watch for you your Paris that are my tchum. So Kol Shani Zaka Ben Rasei Rashani Ve'ema Kol Shani Zaka Ben Rasei Rashani Nachshach Alav, and therefore that was the rule that he was saying. Whatever I'm permitted to give instructions, I'm permitted to go and wait for nightfall. Meaning, in something which I'm able to give instructions about, I'm able to go wait for nightfall. Everyone's ma'ida that I'm able to go tell my friend to watch in my Paris that are in his tchum that I'm allowed to do, so too, whatever I'm allowed to instruct about, I'm allowed to go and wait on the border myself, as far as my tchum goes, wait on the border myself to go watch it for after Shabbos. That's what Abishol was adding in his cloud. He's adding this idea of what really we're calling a concept of called Amir Yisrael. He's adding the concept of Amir Yisrael, that Amir Yisrael is permissible, and whatever Amir Yisrael is permissible, I'm allowed to go and be machshich on that same concept for myself as well. Now, the Pesachim bring, the Rashba brings from Tosfos, the Ritva brings to Tosfos that this Gemara is a source that, let's say, Reuven accepts Shabbos early. Reuven's Mekabel Shabbos early. This is very relevant, especially in these summer months. Many people make Shabbos early. So if Reuven accepts Shabbos early, a side halacha actually is also related to more to like camps and bungalow colonies, and you could even say citywide. It could be if the whole Eilim accepts Shabbos early, then a person is actually bound to keep Shabbos early. As long as there's kavutzas, the shuls, there's some groups that don't accept Shabbos early, then, of course, the person can accept Shabbos. Bismani, in the regular Zman, he's not Meshubbat to accept early just because most of the shuls, which is what we find in Toronto, most of the shuls do make Shabbos early throughout the summer. But since there are those that make it Bismani, therefore one's not obligated. But let's say if all the shuls would do it, or specifically in a bungalow colony or in a camp, where the camp is taking on Shabbos early, then it is actually problematic. That person is buttled to the entire group, and he would be obligated to take Shabbos on early. But let's focus on a place, let's say in a city, where there's many people doing different things. Some are taking Shabbos on early, some are not. So Reuven took on Shabbos early, and Shimon did not. Reuven is allowed to instruct Shimon to do Malacha for Shabbos. Why? Because for Shimon, it's not Shabbos yet. For Shimon, it's Mutter. Even though we know Amir La'akim is Aser, Amir Yisrael is permissible, and the proof is exactly this Gemara. Even though for Shimon, it was Aser to go as far as Reuven's boundaries, for Reuven it's permissible, and therefore Shimon can instruct Reuven to watch Shimon's Paris within Reuven's boundaries. That's fine. This is the source that Amira Yisrael is permissible. That is the Rashba from Tosfos, the Ritva from Tosfos. However, Ran argues. Ran says no, that we just had a concept of yesterday's daf, that it's only something which theoretically could be mutter for me to do myself. Only there are we allowed to, let's put by this conversation of what I'm allowed to talk about on Shabbos, right? I'm allowed to talk about things that I could potentially do myself. For example, if I could talk about going outside the tchum, I could talk about traveling outside the tchum on Shabbos, even though I'm not allowed to go outside the tchum, because theoretically I could build huts and create dwelling places all the way through, and it wouldn't be out of the tchum. Since there's a way around it, then it's permissible on Shabbos. But anything there's no way for me around it, then I cannot talk about it on Shabbos. I can't. It's also for me to have an amira about the about something which I cannot be over on Shabbos. Says Ron here too. L'chari, if Shimon cannot go out of this boundary, it's actually interesting because it's a case of tchum. So tchum itself is saying there are exceptions. But okay, but the Ran in general argument says anything which I can't do, I can't talk about, and therefore I can't tell another yid to do for me. It seems to go with that Mahalach of Rashi, that the Isser of Amira on Shabbos and Mesech Havtzecha, if I can't be busy with it, I can't tell someone else to do it, even though for someone else it's mutter. But Lemaisa Beis Yosef Paskin, Shechner Paskins, like the Rashba from Tosfos, Halach Lemaisa, we hold that Amira Yisrael is mutter. Now, we've been discussing in the context of Erev Shabbos, let's say Ruvain took on Shabbos earlier in the Chimin, so he took a Tashabbat to Melach of him. What about Matzai Shabbos? What about Matzai Shabbos, where Shabbos is over? Let's go, let's say, according to all this manim, 72 minutes Shabbos, or 90 minutes, whatever it is, Shabbos is over. And you have someone who still is very into Shabbos. He's having a very long drag that shal shuddis. Maybe it's a simcha, and they're still keeping Shabbos. Taste for Shabbos is a mitzvah. He's still keeping Shabbos longer than when it's clearly Shabbos is out. Halachli, one is able to do malacha, but they're still keeping Shabbos. Could you ask someone who's out of Shabbos to do malacha for you? So Rama says yes. Dach Yemaisha brings same thing. The same way we're saying before Shabbos this halacha applies. The same halacha applies after Shabbos as well. Levush Mordechai, however, argues and said that no, that before Shabbos, one person took on Shabbos, one person didn't. Since one person didn't take on Shabbos yet, he could do malacha for you. But he says, I don't quite fully understand it, but he says, after Shabbos, at the end of Shabbos, where everyone had Shabbos, it was Shabbos ready for everyone to go now and say that you can ask someone else to do malacha for you, that's going to be problematic. The lumdus, I mean, just to get a little bit more color, the lumdus, I believe he brings is that before Shabbos, we consider taking on Shabbos early like a neder. It's interesting. So Reuven took on Shabbos early. He's like, he made a neder to keep DNA Shabbos, almost like it's not really Shabbos. It's not actual Shabbos. He made a neder to keep DNA Shabbos early. He made a neder. So Shimon therefore could do malacha for him. Whereas by Matzah Shabbos, where clearly was Shabbos ready, and Shabbos just continuing, then you can't ask someone to do malacha for you. That seems to be a little bit, it has been Lavush, but Lavush argues on the Ramah, Lamaisa, seemingly we paskin Lakula on both sides. We paskin that one can ask someone to do malacha for him, both before, if he takes on early Shabbos, and if he's keeping late Shabbos, post Shabbos, extra, he's asking to do malacha. And the basis for it is our Gemara right over here, our Gemara that says that Yisrael can ask someone else to do that which is within the other person's chum, even though it's not within my chum. I can ask him to do it for me on Shabbos, because for him it's mutter, even though for me it's usher. That's not a problem of Amir. Amir is a problem only by a guy. And the Pesukim point out, ironically enough, even though for a guy, it's never Shabbos. A guy has no mitzvah Shabbos. A guy is not allowed to keep Shabbos. Still, of course, we have the din of Amir Lakam to a guy. It's always going to be prohibited. Okay. Says the Gemara further. Now, the truth, before you say the Gemara, go weiter, just three items, should have started off this when I began the shiur, of housekeeping. Three items of housekeeping of halachas that are relevant for the past couple of blah that we definitely spoke about the night shiur. I don't believe we spoke out in the morning. So just quickly to point out, Rafal asked a couple of days ago after the shiur about shaking snow off a hat. We discussed shaking rain off a beged could be a problem of libun because you're causing water to leave the beged. Water leaving the beged, squeezing water out of a beged is also a form of cleaning a beged, and that's a problem of libun. So we said even shaking the rain off a beged could be problematic. It could be an issue of Liban. We spoke about when we discussed the Gemara about hanging up the jackets could look like a Maris Ayin of washing the begadim. So even shaking off the rain is also problematic. What about a hat? Shaking the snow off a hat. Very common scenario during the winter, shaking snow off a hat. What is halacha? So I verified with Rabbi Kanner, and he said that if one just turns the hat over and shakes it softly and the snow falls off, there's no concern that snow that's coming off is anything more than surface snow. And surface snow wouldn't be an issue of leaving, of washing, of cleaning the hat, and therefore that's permissible. But if one's going to shake it vigorously, give a hard shake for the snow to come off, that would indeed be problematic. Maybe even flicking the back of the hat with like a little bit of force, giving a flick that some liquid that was semi-absorbed in the hat is now popping out, that would indeed be problematic. So a person should be careful when he shakes the snow off his hat on Shabbos. Did number one. Did number two that we had discussed the other day, a couple of days ago, about lists. One's not allowed to read from guest lists, or we're not allowed to read from menu lists on Shabbos, because it may come to a race. So Allah l'mayis, it's very relevant in many people on Yom Tov, especially particularly Yom Tov, where there's multiple meals, especially in Chutzars, where there's 2 days of Yom Tov, and they often have different guests, and they want to line up their different menus. They want to have it all set up in order to know which foods to take out for the various meals. So the women often will make, as they're preparing, they make menu lists before Yom Tov, and they keep that list on Yom Tov itself to read it on Yom Tov. It's also relevant Shabbos too, just usually not as common, unless there's a lot of guests or a simcha, but to read those lists, or a guest list, by a bar mitzvah, by a simcha, by a wedding, by a shabbat brachas, a guest list. These lists that people often have, they should not be read, halach l'maisa, they should not be read on Shabbos or Yom Tov directly, unless they're, obviously the best if they're mamish laminated, but even not, the price can bring, that if you have, let's say, a page protector, if there's something that's separating your ability to erase, The whole issue was you may come to erase. Therefore, if there's something to separate the ability to erase, that will minimize the issue. So therefore, that could be a heter. Again, laminated for sure, but even not laminated, if it's in some sort of page protector, some sort of cover where you can't directly access the writing, that would be a kula. But that's it's a very simple. It's a simple fix to a problem, but it's a clear halachic problem to read from these lists on Shabbos. With Yom Tov, it's a very not so commonly known, but it is a very common thing that people do, and one should be careful to put page protectors. Lastly, Yossel asked me after the share the other day that why are we not concerned when one's learning? Many people, while they learn, they take a pen, they keep a pen next to them when they're learning. So why are we let to learn on Shabbos? The same way we consider Hashem Yimchik, a person may come to erase his guest list, he may come to erase his menu list. Why are we not concerned about writing? A person may come to write notes, because say the people make aris on the side of the Gemara, where they write different notes. Why are we not concerned about writing? Why are we not concerned about writing? So the truth is, Rabbi Kanner, when I was learning to him yesterday, he mentioned on the idea of guest lists, he asked right away over there. The Gemara is so focused on erasing, why is the more focused on writing? It should be focused on writing, adding to the guest list, adding to the menu. Why are we all focused only on erasing, not writing? So he suggested, and this would answer Yossel's question as well, he suggested that dafka erasing, which especially again these days we usually use an apparatus to erase. But back in the day, erasing, they would take anything and rub out the ink. They would use anything to rub out the ink. So wherever a person is, he doesn't have to get up and get something, a special utensil, to erase. It was a common practice to erase with whatever was next to him. So therefore, we were scared that a person would forget himself, forget his Shabbos, and erase whatever he's reading from right away. Writing, he has to get up and get a pen. So presumably on Shabbos, a person is sitting and learning, or he's reading lists, he doesn't have a pen. So we have this concept, just like we said, when it's written on the wall, we're not concerned there was a tzad. We're not concerned he's going to erase when it's higher up, because he has to go get a ladder to reach it. Once he has to get up and get something to go and engage in the malach he's about to do, we have a confidence that adas lachi, until he does it, until he gets to that stage, he'll remember Shabbos and not go do the malacha. So in terms of writing, a person who's sitting and learning, he's going to get up to get a pen to write, until he gets the pen, until he sits down to write, he'll remember Shabbos. Whereas erasing, which is much more handy, again, today it's a little bit different because we usually use erasers as well. The same way we use pens, we use like erasers, we use specific things to erase. So for us, it's a little bit harder to understand, but he was saying that back in the day, it's likely they used to erase with whatever apparatus they had nearby, and therefore erasing was more of a concern than writing. You have to get up to go get the pen, and therefore that was less of a concern. Okay, so Vayter in the Gemara. Klal asu yamai. We said in the Mishnah, again, Abishol, we just quoted this, Abishol said a klal, that whatever amutta to the amira, which we explained to mean amir the Yisrael, amutta to be tachshech. So for example, the gabe tchum, to go watch the Paris, if I can do amira to my friend to watch for me, I can go near the border, near the tchum, in order to be prepared to watch myself about the Shabbos. What's he gaining, what's he saying with this klal? Klal lasuya mai. What does the klal come to include? Lasuya hadzon rabbanu comes to include. Here's the bright rabbanu Torah in a brisa. Eima chashrichen al tchum lavi behema. One cannot go by nightfall to tchum to go bring him in order for the purpose of bringing an animal back in, which you're not allowed to do on Shabbos itself. Therefore, you can't go to tchum on Shabbos to be ready to go matzah Shabbos to do it. Ha'isamet chos tchum. If the animal is outside the tchum, you are allowed to carry levi ba. You could call the animal and have the animal come by itself. That's fine. To call the animal to come is fine, but to go there to be as close as possible to take it back in yourself physically after Shabbos. The same way you couldn't do it on Shabbos, you can't do it after Shabbos. You can't go on Shabbos at the boundary to be ready for the Shabbos as well. Okay, klal of Avishol. Here's the klal of Avishol, which is going to be a leniency. Kol, and really, it's going to be the next Mishnah. Kol shani zakav emrasin rashani lachashich alav. Whatever I'm zakav emrasay, I can be machshich alav. What's the klal come to include? Machshichin al iske kala. I can be busy on Shabbos, even though normally I can't tend to things that I can't do malacha on Shabbos. For the following mitzvahs, I could go to the boundary at least. I can't do the actual thing itself. I can go to the boundary in order to be prepared to do it right after Shabbos. For what? Iske Kala, which we spoke out, could be breaking off a myrtle branch or preparing different begotten for. But we spoke out, the example we gave yesterday was the myrtle branch. Or for the mace to bring for him, either to carry the Duaitzah of Aron Techrichin or to actually make the Aron Techrichin. I can go to the boundary, do these things on Shabbos. I can go to the boundary and be prepared right after Shabbos for these mitzvahs. If I'm in Lai, Nechlam, I'm complaining, and you can tell another person on Shabbos, go to such place on Shabbos. You can tell my Shabbos, go there to be ready to get such items after Shabbos. So says my complaining, and if you can't find it there, then how about complaining? Then go to this other place, the mice of mana, and if you can't find it for this price of mana, go buy from Messiah. You can do all these things on mutter on Shabbos because it's preparation for a mitzvah. However, the price ends off. Rabbi Yasi, Rabbi Yehuda, Imer, no, but Vashi Askel, Schum Mekach. One thing you cannot do is the Schum Mekach. Start getting involved with pricing is taka problematic on Shabbos. That's still going to be an issue. Okay, but the overall idea of this price is saying that it's permissible to get to prepare and go to the tchum on Shabbos to prepare for the is asakim, for the kalam, for the mace. That is what Abishol was coming to add. That was the klal coming to add the chorav tana kamar mishnah. either didn't mention it, or maybe doesn't even agree, and Abishol is coming to Anne and say, no, that's also going to be permissible, which is really the next Mishnah, which they learn, is Mamish Abishol. Once let it go by nightfall to the Tchum, he's let it go to Tchum, he said, no, to do other personal matters he can't do, that things that are Asur on Shabbos, he can't go to the Tchum to get ready to do those right away after Shabbos, but for this, for Iske Kala, or for Al Iske Mace, the to bring the Aron Tachrichin for the Mace, those are all things that he could go to the boundary for on Shabbos. Okay, Nachisha Hevi Chalolim Shabbos Leis by Bam Yisrael. A Nachisha that brings flutes. They used to have bring flutes to help create the mood by the Hespedim, by the Levayas. So if the Nachisha brings it on behalf of Yisrael on Shabbos, the Yid cannot use it. Elam came from Makar, Makom Kar. Unless it came from a close place. Two very important points here. Rashi learns what does it mean when Nachisha brings Chalolim Shabbos. Yid can't use it. You can't use it for Hespid. La'elam Hashem says forever, which will be relevant when an Aron is made on Shabbos for a Yid, next to the Mishnah or Kvura, a grave is dug for a Yid specifically on Shabbos. We say that cannot be used. Elam, it can't be used forever because there's no way to. Over there, we don't say that's mutter kedesh yasu. And as long as there's enough time after Shabbos to have dug or to build Aron, we say it's nikkur on it that it was made on Shabbos for a Yid. It has that hekker on it. Asul elam. That's what we say later in the Mishnah. Rashi's applying that same lumdus over here as well. When it says la yispa b'hem Yisrael, a Yid cannot use this flute. It means la elam. He can never use this flute at the goy board. You don't say okay, it would have taken the guy a half hour to bring it after Shabbos. Once it's half after Shabbos, now I could use it kedesh yasu, and it would have been enough time to do it after Shabbos. Now it's mutter. No, it's asul elam. It's Rashi. Tosfos argues. Tosfos says no. Tosfos brings raya that no, that the guy be the flute. We say once there's enough time, the guy could have done it after Shabbos. It is mutter to use over there. We don't say we're not so machmer. The guy be the flute. Okay, machlokes Rashi Tosfos. But next Tosfos is also very important. Tosfos says but makom karev. When is the mutter to use the flute that the guy brought on Shabbos? Only provided it was brought makom karev, meaning there's no issue of tchum. If it was brought from a close place, no issue of tchum. Then you can use the flute on Shabbos. Then you can use the flute. Not on Shabbos, meaning you can use it after Shabbos. But if it was brought from a place that's far, then you cannot use the flute right away after Shabbos. Again, according to Rashi, you can't use it forever. According to Tosfos, you can use it kedesh yasu as long as you have enough time to lapse in order for the guy to bring it. Ask Tosfos, makom karev, you're busy with tchum, even if it's within the tchum. What about the problem of etzah? In order for the guy to bring the flute, he's carrying it, presumably in public thoroughfares, he's being over an etzah. Why we focus just on tchum? What happened to the isser of haitzah? The guy's doing on behalf of the yid, the isser of haitzah. As if it answers to a very cryptic answer. Look at Taisa says that, yeah, but it's not such a benefit. This that the guy brought it, he carried it to you. The haitzah is not such a benefit. What does that mean? So this means what we've been discussing, we're already on Daf Kuf Nun. We've been discussing this since Daf Beis, the concept that we started from the Masechta with Eitzah. One of the reasons we gave is because Eitzah is a Malacha Garua. We said the most simple logical reason is because Eitzah takes up by far the most pages in this Masechta of any other Malacha. So therefore, that's what we start off with it. That's a simple explanation. But one of the explanations we gave is because Eitzah is a Malacha Garua. Eitzah, we said, when a person moves something from point A to point B, he just changed its location. He didn't do any creative Chinoi, or any creative act within the chafetz itself. He just moves location. Therefore, we call it a malacha garua. It's a weaker malacha. And therefore, the halacha is, there's a major kula, that by a malacha garua, such as a tza, if a guy does it for a person on Shabbos, that itself, we're not going to have an issue. B'di'evet, it won't be usher. So the tza element, we're not going to say b'di'evet is usher, even though the guy did it for you on Shabbos, they're not supposed to. We're not going to say it's usher b'di'evet, because it's a malacha garua. The tchum issue, that's not considered, right, tchum itself is a Shabbos derice even, that's a separate conversation. But tchum issue, we're saying that tchum is not considered garua, tchum is a separate halacha, and therefore we will be concerned. But from the haitza perspective, we're talking not as concerned. Again, we're not going to instruct the guy to do it for us in the first place. But if he did it on his own, we're not going to have a problem as much b'di'evet with the haitza issue as we would with the tchum issue. That's why the Mishnah focus on tchum. Very interesting explanation. It's really Tosfos, but Tosfos explained very interesting point. Yes. So that's the Mishnah right there. Asla Aaron v'chafer lekever. If the guy made a coffin for a yid where he dug from a grave, he covered by Israel, the yid is allowed to use this cover. Sorry, if the guy made a coffin for himself, the yid could use it. However, if it was made for a yid, then like cover by lamas. If it was done on Shabbos for a yid, then it can never be used. Something which was done clearly on Shabbos for a yid can never be used because it's always going to be have the shame that was done on Shabbos for a yid. But if it was done for himself, for the guy, or for other guyim, then the yid could use it right away after Shabbos. Okay, Zakti Gemara. My makom karev, what does it mean makom karev? Rav Amar makom karev mamish means literally that you know, meaning the point is you know it was within the tchum. You know b'yidia, the flutes came from within the tchum. Shmuel Amar, chashin Hashem chaymed lanu. Shmuel says, no, it's only a problem if I know for sure it's out of the tchum. But if it was brought and I, from outside the city, and I don't know from where, I'm allowed to be lenient and assume it came from right outside the chayma, which is still part of the tchum, and it's permissible. So it's machlokes is whether I have to know for sure it came from within the tchum, that's Rav, or like Shmuel says, I can assume it came from the tchum unless I know otherwise. Shmuel, the Tani says Mishnah, Aslay Aaron v'chafle cover, if you made an Aaron, the grave in Aaron, or he dug a grave the halach is you cover by Israel, the Yid could use it. You need to use it as long as we know, as long as we don't know, as long as it wasn't done specifically for the year, it's mutter. What do we see? Al misfeik ashari, achlam misfeik ashari. We see over the year, we're not saying that we know for sure it wasn't done for the year. We just don't know that it was yes done for the year, and still it's mutter. So we see a safik mutter, so to hear a safik mutter. So the Mishnah is mashma like Shmuel, that we are lenient, we are makil, we assume that it wasn't done from the year, it wasn't done by Isser, or wasn't taken from further out of the tchum. We can assume the kula like Shmuel. Says about Tanya Kavas Rav, we for Bryce, the Rav as well. That both Yidden and Goyim dwell in the city. And there's a bathhouse that's open on Shabbos where they're heating, the bathhouse attendants is heating water on Shabbos. So are you allowed to use that hot water right away on Matzah Shabbos? So Imre Nachum, if most of the people that are there are Goyim, right away on Matzah Shabbos, Yid can go in the bathhouse because he could assume the hot water was heated on behalf of Goyim, and therefore he's allowed to use the hot water right away on Matzah Shabbos. However, Rav Yisof, the people that use this bathhouse are Yidden, then the person's heating it with the intent of heating it for Yidden. Even though they don't come on Shabbos, he's eating for the Yidden. It was being done on Shabbos, and therefore Yom Tanak Shishi Echmu Kamen. He has to wait on Shabbos till enough time that the water could be heated from scratch. Mechza, mechza. What if it's half Yidden, half Goyim? With Mamash right in the middle, so we say Ashishi Echmu Kamen. We go to Chumra by a Suffolk, but it's 50-50. We go to Chumra and say you have to wait until enough time to heat the water again on Matzah Shabbos. So we see like Rav, you go to Chumra. That's the riot to Rav from this Brisa. The merger just answers. The Brisa has another din, not really relevant to our mission, but it's relevant to this halacha of bathhouse. Maybe the Emir. By a small pool, if there's a rishus in it, then the it could be rechitz miyad. What does that mean? My rishus. What does it mean? This rishus. Amar Rav Yehuda. Amar Rav Yitzchak. Rav Yehuda. It means if yesh adam chashev. If there's a chashev person that can come, sheish la'asara avadim, who has 10 servants that can come, shebecham la'asara kum kamim fasachas b'mati ketana, who could heat up for him these 10 pots of water to put into the bathtub, the small pool at the same time, then mutlichas miyad. It's mutl to use right away. Meaning, if you have a scenario where there's a person who can heat the water instantly, he's a chashev person who has water heated for him instantly. In such a case, a person has many servants. It only takes a few minutes to heat the water. So therefore, it's possible that the water can be heated. It's possible that the water was heated after Shabbos. It's possible it was, even though when the Yid comes after Shabbos and it's boiling hot, it's likely it's been heated from all day because this bathhouse was open, it was being attended to all day. But if you have a case where the scenario where the person who's in charge of the bathhouse or a person that attends is a chashev adam chashev and he has 10 servants that can heat up the water instantly and very quickly, so the yid's allowed to be samech on that in that case and use it right away after Shabbos and assume that maybe it was heated up on behalf of that person. Fine. But in general, the first part of the Bible says very clearly, when you have 50% yid and 50% goyim, we go to chumra, you have to wait to shiasu on the Shabbos, we go to chumra, that would be a riot to Rav, that misafik, we would say usher. Also, arm we said the Mishnah, if the guy made the coffin or he dug from a grave on Shabbos, the Yid can use it. Again, if the guy made for Asalei means for on behalf of people in general, not the Yid, then it's permissible. But if he made it for the Yid himself, then it's going to be Asaleilim. Why don't we say that it should be Mutter once you have Teshiyasu? Once we say, even if it was done for the Yid directly, it should be Mutter once you have enough time it takes to dig a grave or to build a coffin, after Shabbos, it should be Mutter to use it. Amar Ula, Ba'emid Bistratya. We're talking about where it's on a located on a main place, and it's located on a main road, and it's not usually a place where Yidin are buried, and the guy dug on behalf of a Yid, and over there, I take it back. The Mishnah said that when a guy made a grave stam or iron stam, the Yid is allowed to use it. Why is he allowed to use it? Why doesn't he have to at least wait till Kadeshiyasu? Because there's a concern that maybe it was made for the Yid, and therefore it should be a problem to make Kadeshiyasu. Answers the Gemara, we're talking about a case where it's done in a place where Yidden are never buried. Since Yidden are never buried there, it was clearly being done for a guy, whereas that on a main road, Yidden don't typically get buried on the main roads, only Goyim do, and therefore you could say that it's clear that it was done for a guy, and therefore a Yid doesn't have to wait Kadeshiyasu.
Tainach Kever, explain Kever. Aaron, Mike, remember, what's the reason why Heter was saying it's mutter by Aaron to use right away? Amr Bavo, but mutter al Kivrei. We're talking about a case where there was a the coffin is right next to that grave that's made for a guy. If you have a grave made for a guy, clearly, and a coffin being built right next to it, it's obviously made also for the guy. Ultimately, now we're talking about a scenario where it's going to be used by a Yid, but since it was clearly made for a guy, there's no reason to wait. Even Kadesh Yasso is not necessary. It's mutter to use right away. Okay, Zakta Mesha Viter. Isa Kol Tzarcha Meis, do all the Tzarcha Meis, Sachen, meaning the Mars explain what that comes to add on a base. Sachin, umadichin, I say, you could anoint it with oil, rinse the mace, uvashli yasa ba'aver, but you can't move any of the limbs. The mace we know is muktzah, and therefore one cannot move his limbs. Big insight over here. We've spoken out many times in the past that muktzah is usher to move muksa completely, but to be mishtamish muksa, to use it, someone say even without moving it, using it could be prohibited, but simply touching muksa is not a problem. Here we see another caveat. The mace overall is not being moved. The mace is stationary. The mace is not being moved. When you move an aver of a mace, you move a limb, you move his finger, you move his hand, the mace itself is still in the overall makam, that's the same. The mace hasn't moved. Yet we're saying it's still a problem. So what we learn from here is moving part of muktzah is also a problem. Moving part of muktzah is also going to be an issue. Says the Mishnah, so you can anoint the mace, you can rinse the mace, but you, on Shabbos for his covet, but you can't move the, and even the aver. You could pull the pillow from underneath the mace in order to the mace should rest directly in the sand where it's a little cooler, in order that the mace shiamtin should remain, the mace should remain moist and not get spoiled. Kaishos alechi, you could bind up the jaw. Leishiyala, not to close the jaw, not to make it rise. One of the things they do with a mace is they close the jaw. You're not allowed to do it in a way that it closes the jaw on Shabbos, but you can tie it that it shouldn't droop, it shouldn't fall down further. That's what you got to do. V'chein kar shishban, similar halacha is when a beam that breaks, same chanesah b'safsal, amiruchas amita, one can support it with a bench or with the size of a bed. Not to raise the beam. You're not supporting the beam to put it back in its place. That's us on Shabbos. El Shlataysev. But you're allowed to put support underneath that it shouldn't fall further. To prevent it falling further, that's permissible. But to support it up, that it shouldn't fall further, that is permissible. Zakti Gemara. Again, we're Kuf Nun Alpha Beis, which is right at the top. We're in the Gemara. There's the Mars ask a question from the. We're saying it's mutter to anoint or rinse the mace, but we have a story as follows. This story tells me they went after him to the base of Merchitz, Pikish Ladiach Karka. He wanted to wash the floor of the bathhouse. You can't rinse the floor of the bathhouse on Shabbos. Lost the Karka. They wanted to. I believe we had this more early in the Sechta. They wanted to anoint the floor of the bathhouse. He said, you can't anoint the floor of the bathhouse either. Now, the reason why he says usher is because the stones of the bathhouse are muktzah, and therefore rinsing the floor of the bathhouse or anointing it, that which is muktzah, is prohibited. And our Mishnah was saying rinsing or anointing the mace, which is also a davar muktzah, is permissible. Chayr tzastira. Answer the Gemara, no, you make an obvious mistake. What we always know, what's always the issue with the floor? Issue with the floor is very often an issue of ashvui gumais, of getting rid of holes and ditches, of making the floor even, which is a malacha of vaina. That's the concern over here. Karka b'karka michlefa, mace b'karka michlefa. Meaning, the person can't even rinse the floor of the bathhouse, which is not dirt. The floor of the bathhouse was stone, but you can't rinse the stone because you can mix it up with other types of flooring that is dirt, that is earth, that is going to flatten out, and therefore, since the person can mix it up, we don't allow them to anoint or to spritz water on any type of floor, even a stone floor. Whereas a mace b'karkalei michlufa, anointing and spritzing a mace, a person's not going to say, "Oh, I was able to anoint and spritz the mace. It must be I can anoint and spritz the floor and level and it's going to come to level out gumais." That's not a concern, and therefore, in our mishnah is not an issue. Kol asuimai, what do we say? Let attend to all the needs of the mace. What's called come to include? Last we had to turn our button. Mavin kli mekar u kli matras. You can bring kalim that cool off and metal kalim manichem al kresei and put them on the stomach of the mace. Kishet tibuch in order that his stomach shouldn't swell. Umekinas the kavav. You can stop the upekinas the kavav. You can stuff up the holes. Kishet tikanas ben ruach in order that ruach air shouldn't enter inside them. V'af. I'm sorry. Yerasek Chevel Hakesef Zechat Zuchat Hashedra until the silver rope snaps, referring to the spinal cord. Vitarz Kulas Azov Zeam is referring to the male aver. Vishaver Kad Alabua Zekaris the fountain. The pitcher is broken on the fountain. That's referring to the stomach. So we were just talking about. The pitcher is broken at the fountain. It's talking about the stomach. Vignaratz Agagol Abur Zeparish. That's talking about the excrement that is in the body at the time the person dies. Vicheno Emer the Zerisi Parish Apanechem Parish Chagechem. I'll scatter the excrement on your faces. The excrement from your Yom Tovim. That's what the pasuk says. Amar Huna Ramila Amar Avchaga Elu Bnei Adam Shemanichem Divrei Torah Vaisin Kol Yemeim Bechachagem. Lashon the pasuk of Chag is these are people that instead of being busy learning Torah, they spent all their days like Chagim. They spent all the days in indulging themselves and pampering themselves, enjoying themselves like Yom Tov. We have extra food and extra delicacies. They spent all their days that way instead of being busy learning Torah. That's what that pasuk is referring to. Amar Levi Amar Papi Amar Vshua. After 3 days, after a person dies, krasin of kas, then it falls upon of. The stomach bursts, and all the dung that was in the stomach, all the waste in the stomach, will actually explode all over the person, and it's disgusting. Very nicely, and it basically says to the person, Tomash Azadli, take back what you stuck in me, all the extra food you stuck in me, take it back. So that's why we're doing these things to protect that from happening to the mace, from having the stuff come out of his body, or the stomach exploding. It's interesting, the Mefarshim HaBadayik, the Lashon of Ir is that Shlomo HaMelech said B'chachmasai, right? We're quoting Psukim that Shlomo HaMelech said in, he said these Psukim in Kehelas. We know Kehelas was set up, Kehelas, Mishlei, all these things were set up, Piruch HaKadosh. The Lashon of Sebe Chachmasai sounds like it was said in his Chachma, not up Piruch HaKadosh. So the first one explained there's something called Chachmasai Eloi. Chachmasai Eloi, the Margolis Yam says, Chachmasai Eloi is another way of saying, Ruch HaKadosh. It doesn't just mean in intellect, it's more than intellect, it's Ruch HaKadosh, it's a higher level. These things have Kedusha because they're said with Ruch HaKadosh. That's the whole discussion, whether, you know, Megillah is considered like the other Megillahs, if it was set up Ruch HaKadosh or not. The Mer does bring a riot that there is but the point is, in general, we're saying that there's a difference between something that was written Stam Chachma and something was written a level of Ruch Kodesh, and these things are Stam written Ruch Kodesh, and the word Chachma in our Gemara also means a level of Chachma Ilai. Okay, Zok to Mishnah. Ain ma'atzmenes ameis b'Shabbos. You don't close the eyes of the mace on Shabbos. We know when a person is zifter, they close the eyes of the mace. One does not do that on Shabbos. V'loy b'chol imtzias nefesh. And even during the week, one should be very careful that he should not close the eyes of the mace as the person is soul is still departing while the person is not fully dead yet. V'ma'atzmenes imtzias nefesh reis shef damim. One who closes the eyes of the mace as the soul is departing, if he closes the eyes, he's sheikh damim because he's hastening the final yitziyah of the neshama, the final death, by helping the eyes to close. Once the person is fully dead, then of course the hanaga is to close the person's eyes. Tana rabbanim, ha'matzmeis im yitziyah nefesh areis shef damim. One who closes the eyes of a mace while the mace is dying, before the mace actually died, is considered shef damim. Mashla nesh kafav veilechus, like a candle's flickering. Adam menech etz be'aleh miad kasa. The person puts his finger by the nair, it's flickering. Right, it was extinguished. So, but the nair was still flickering. It was flickering. There still was some life to the nair. So too the person who was on the throes of death, he was about to die, but the closing of the eyes before he's actually dead actually is the finishing touch on the death, and therefore it's shvichas damim, unbelievable. Tanya Reb Shimon Gamliel Eimer Haretzah Shias Atzmo Einav Shemeis Neifach LeYayim B'Chayda. One who wants that the eyes of a dead person should close, he does this following method. I'm not sure exactly the mechanics of it, how it works, but this is the method. He should blow wine into his chaytmei's nostrils. V'Neis Hashem Be'Mis Yisei Einav, and he should put oil between the eyelashes, grab the two big toes, and the eyes will close by themselves. A tinnik that's 1 day old, we're mechal Shabbos. A 1 day old tinnik, we're mechal Shabbos. David Melchisol Mace, a mechal Shabbos. Whereas David Melchisol Mace, we discussed earlier in the Masechta a few times already, but David, whether his body after his nifter was muksesh, how you move it. David Melchisol, David the king of Kaisol, when he's nifter, once he's dead, a mechal Shabbos. There's no din of chil, you're not mechal Shabbos. Whereas any stam tinnik who's 1 day old, we are mechal Shabbos. Why? Tinnik ben yamei chai mechal Shabbos. Because we have a svara, Amar Terech Chal Shabbos of Shabbos Acher Echad Kedei Shem Shabbos Tarvei. It's kedai to be mechal one Shabbos in order that he should live to keep many Shabboses. Whereas David Melch Yisrael Mace a mechal of Shabbos keep Shemais Adam keep Shemais Adam Batal Menam Mitzvus. Once a person's dead, Nebuch he no longer has Mitzvus, and therefore we're not mechal Shabbos on behalf of the person, even someone as lofty as a gadol adar and the melech David Melch Yisrael. Hanidam Rabbi Yechanan b'meisim chafshi. Meisim chafshi. What does it mean? Kivusha is other once a person dies. Nasa chafshi mitzvahs. He's chafshi from the mitzvahs. Important detail. We're saying over here that the reason why mechal Shabbos for a person who's mikuch nefesh is because mutavi mechal Shabbos in order that he should be able to keep many Shabbases. There's actually another din of more more common, more famous than that's the Geshmak Asfara, and that was actually Asfara, I believe, that Esther used to tell them to fast on Pesach and after the Seder, mutter that they should fast and get out of the Sarah and not keep one Pesach in order to keep many Pesachs in the future. But okay, but there's another pasuk that we say that we know a person is mechal Shabbos in order to save a life is v'chay b'hem, teresa v'chay b'hem, v'lei Shabbos b'hem. Besides the gilah chamuris, we know halacha is a person supposed to live by the mitzvahs, not die by them, and therefore mechal Shabbos to keep the mitzvahs. It makes a big difference. It makes a big nafkamin actually what the source is. Our Gemara is focusing on a tinnik ben yomai. Halacha is even for an uber, even for a fetus. It's not even a tinnik ben yomai yet. We're mechal Shabbos to save the life of a fetus, right? That comes from, I believe, that comes from the idea of v'chayim. Maybe not. Maybe actually you have the same svara of mutav that you should mechal Shabbos in order that you keep many Shabbos even before it's born. Okay, let's leave it for now. But there are enough communities between the svara of mutav they mechal Shabbos to keep many Shabbos and v'chayim. But they are both two svaras to say mechal Shabbos to keep someone alive. Tanya. A one-day old tinnik, you don't have to watch it from being bitten by weasel, by mice, because they're afraid of any living thing, no matter how tiny it is, no, even if it's a newborn. It's already dead. You have the biggest giant who's dead. You got to watch it from these critters, from these mice and the weasels. When a person's alive, his aim of the person is placed on the brias. Once he's dead, the aim is gone. Papa. We have a messiah, a lion. Typically won't attack two people, because again we have this concept that when it comes to people, animals are scared, even lions. In fact, we have stories where it did happen. That's Rambam Abba. Chaya has no power over a person unless the person appears to be like an animal. That's actually the pasuk they say in the base Avil. As opposed to they say that when he's nimshul kabeimus nidmu, when he appears like behemoth, that's when the behemoths themselves have power over. That's when the behemoth goes and attacks the humans. By the way, for those that need to go shachar, stopping is in 3 minutes. Which is a little further. Amar Chanina, Aser Lishon Bevesichidi. It's Aser for a person to sleep in a house alone. Chayesh Bevesichidi. Whoever sleeps in the house alone, Achzase Lilis. He'll be grabbed by this shade called Lilis. What's the connection? The connection is what we just spoke a moment ago. We just spoke out that when a person goes in a pair, even from a lion, he's saved. When he's with a peer, so too sleeping in a house alone also is that person is doesn't have a companion, that it could be misugal for this shade, also dangerous. V'tanya moit rabbeisa, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Eimer, ase ad sha'ata maitse, a person should do staka while he could find someone that he can give it to, umatzi lach, and while you have the money to give, aitcha biyadcha, and while he's still in control of it, while he's still alive. So a person should do tzedakah when he has recipients that he's able to give it to, when he has the money to give it to them, and when he's still in control of that money before he dies, and he has no control of it anymore. Again, tzcharis barecha, b'mei b'chazecha, ad shle yaveyu yimei hara. Eli mei zikna, tzferinti mei zikna, v'giyu shanam ashtetimer, eili mei b'chefetz, eili mei mashiach, she'em lem s'lai s'chus v'chayva, there's no more s'chus v'chayva in mei mashiach. So this goes with the tzad that once mashiach comes, we no longer have the challenges that we have in this world, because it's like a utopian world. The Yemei Mashiach, who pligi the Shmuel, we've quoted this many times. And Rambam clearly seems to go with this Malach of Shmuel, who pligi the Shmuel, argues the Shmuel, says that no, Tam Shmuel, Yemei Mashiach, ain't not gonna be much different. Ain't bein olam azel Yemei Mashiach el shibachas bavad. Yemei Mashiach is a time period where we'll have no shibud of the gullias, no shibud of the other malchus on us. But with regard to other regular day to day life, it's not the utopian world. People still have to work for a living. People have to make regular kaparaza and all the other things. Being able to do mitzvahs and be able to do staka will still apply. Says the Gemara, Shemar Kileach Tel Evyon Mekevras. There won't be, won't cease to be poor people. Poor people still exist. The one we see is Shmuel saying that means even Yemei Mashiach, the poor people still exist. It won't be this perfect world where they won't have any more poor people. More poor people. Says the Gemara, drop further. Tanya, we looked at the Brisa. Ablazar Kapar Emer. Leim Hakashad Rachmal Midazu. Person has Rachmanas. Midlagabi poverty. Why? Poverty, if it doesn't come to a person, then it will come to his descendants. If it doesn't come to his son, ben b'nai will come to his grandson. If it doesn't come to him, come to his son. If not his son, his grandson. This is the biggest sign. The poverty, and the extension of the chayim means wealth as well, these are galgals. In certain generations, certain families are wealthy and other families are poor. As time, the wheel turns, the galgal turns, the galgal poverty will hit other people. It goes to the people that are wealthy. They're the ones that are poor, and the ones that were poor prior generations will be wealthy. So a person should always daven about this, because it's a cycle that's very that hits, it goes to hit all the people. We have a Messiah that Tamid Chachamim will not be poor. In fact, the Gemara that we clearly see not like that. For Chazina the Me'ainim, we see many times that they are poor Tamid Chachamim. In Isa the Me'ainim, Aduri Apisle Madim. What we mean is that most people, never when they're poor, they're the ones that have to go and collect. Whereas Tamid Chachamim, even when they're poor, they're at least spared the indignity of having to go and collect. Let's pause the video, pick up. I don't want to run through it too fast. Let's pause the video, pick up the rest of Agadah, Emirat Hashem, tomorrow. Have a wonderful day.